In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please. There is a wonderful cartoon of a tall bird. Long neck. And the bird is trying to swallow a frog. And the frog reaches down and grabs hold of the bottom of the neck of the bird. And says, "Swallow again, I dare you." Tenacity. Endurance. Patience. And perseverance. And faith. Are extraordinarily helpful in our time. As you can well imagine, as I prepare to share with you each week, I watch CNN and Fox Network for as little time as possible. I believe that preachers should have the Bible in one hand and newspaper in the other. I then believe that we should try to be as relevant as possible. I also dare say today that there is only one major news story on CNN and Fox, and they are running it every 3.5 minutes. So those of you who at this very moment are tweeting, stop it. You have already seen what happens to those who tweet. Those of you who think that you are in a private meeting and you can say whatever you are thinking, stop it. It will get out before you get out of your washing break. We live in a world where many words and many experiences are examined on a regular basis. And if the individuals involved have a tendency to stumble over themselves, there is incredible critique and criticism. I remember a conversation with our 4 children when they were teenagers and we're all sitting at the dining room table together. And my daughter said to me, that Bible reading this morning, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Does that include what we say to each other? And I said, yes, we are to follow the great philosopher Bambi. Are you there?
Yeah.
In the movie Bambi, there was a conversation between a little tiny deer and a rabbit, and the rabbit turns to the bird and says, I learned a lesson from my mommy. If you can't say something nice,
don't say anything at all.
And I looked at my daughter and she said, wow, this house is going to be quiet for weeks. You know when your kids turn out to be people. And that a little bit of that is because of how good you were a parent. And there's a little bit about how good the teachers were that were in their lives, the mentors, the coaches, the uncles, the aunts, the godparents, the neighbors, the nieces, and the nephews. If they are surrounded in goodness, in holiness, in sacred trust, more often than not, at least the majority of them turn out well. Today's gospel is a fascinating passage. Pardon me while I try and figure out how that works in this place. Not like that?
No.
How about this? That'd be great. Jesus. The next day Jesus decides to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, follow me. You see, the key to that is this. You think you're searching for God. Did you read? God's searching for you. He has a meaning and a purpose for your life, and he's searching for you. But as you well know from the great piece of art of Jesus standing at the door, there is no doorknob on the outside of the door. He will not force his way into your life. You have to open the door. And some say, well, I opened the door in 1939. This is not a once-in-a-lifetime. Spiritual formation is opening the door every morning and saying, Jesus, come into my life anew and know that he is searching for you. As he did Philip. And he invites us to follow. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him about whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth. And Nathanael said, can anything good come from Nazareth? You know they say that about us. Can anything good come from that family? Can anything good come from that town? I grew up in a beautiful town, Sinto. It is a wonderful place to raise children. It is a wonderful place to meet a child. It has an extraordinary education and social support network system. It was a joy to grow up there. But they had a rule. And the rule was that if you hadn't heard really good gossip by noon, if you hadn't heard a really good rumor, start one. And so the newspapers and the radio would often report stories without necessarily confirming all the. So one day after school, I was in the store on the way to report a weekly radio show, and I saw a front page newspaper story, and it said, Counselor Colin Henry resigns from council and is leaving town. Well, that's my dad. So I was a little startled. I lost my mind. I ran all the way home. And there was my dad standing at the front door. My brother and my sister were sitting on the front steps, sobbing. Dad's resignation had not been published. Somebody heard my voice. Reporter called and said, I'm going to run the story anyway. You see, in this complicated world, even that many years ago, hearsay and gossip and innuendo plays too strong a role in who we are. And all I ask today is in the midst of asking, can anything good come from this place or that, or this family or that, that we give the benefit of the doubt first. Assume the best of people until the rest is proven wrong. Now, if you think that I'm coming to something that I'm angry about, I'm about to disappoint you. Although there's been a rumor floating around that I thought was kind of cute. And I'm from Simcoe, so I gotta tell you. And here's the rumor. Did you know that the rector of this church has a plan to cancel one of the liturgies of the church? The problem is, nobody told the rector. Who has no plan? But he's nervous to tell you that he has no plan to cancel one of the churches because he has no plan at all. So what's more embarrassing, not to have a plan at all? Or to plan on doing something profoundly stupid? Can we give each other the benefit of the doubt in our families and in our friends, knowing that we, like Philip, have been called by God for a unique purpose? And that when we assume that somebody that we know and love is doing something extraordinary, can we assume that their motives are healthy? No matter where they're from, no matter who their family is. Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and he said, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you come to know me?" And Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree, Philip. I didn't even know what you were thinking." I find this a tremendous relief, and why I'm comfortable that there is not a consistent confessional booth over in the corner of this church. Now, just in case somebody misunderstood what I just said, not a confessional booth. This is why Jesus already knows what I'm thinking. You're comfortable with that. Here's the other news. He knows what you're thinking, too. Right now. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're feeling. He knows what your attitude is. He knows what your prejudices are. And in the midst of all of that, he loves you anyway. He accepts you the way you are and then invites you to grow in his spirit. Be led by his spirit. There are some who have heard me before and passed the message along that I don't necessarily always deal with the deepest, darkest issues of the church. So let me take another one on. Yesterday, two of your wardens and I were at a meeting talking about a new marriage canon. You will never hear me talk about whether or not it's appropriate for people of the same sex to get married. You're not going to hear me talk about that until a decision's made, because I trust the Holy Spirit to guide you to get as much information as you need to make a decision that's right for you. But what your wardens are going to do is they're going to take every resource that is found on the most complex web page I've ever seen in my life, known as the diocesan web page. And they are going to do the hard work of compiling information packages for every single one of those people who want to read more, understand deeper, and look at the issue from a prayerful perspective. We need to make decisions in prayer. Jesus gathers these disciples in the gospel today to invite them to make decisions prayerfully, knowing that he already knows what they're thinking and feeling, which is by the time I go to my knees each evening beside my bed and to do my own confession and ask for God's forgiveness and reconciliation and a new beginning in the morning, before that happens, I know that God already knows. I hope that he's taken the whole day to consider all of that so that I can be granted for forgiveness and a new start, which is what our Lord promises us. That when we admit our mistakes, we are given not only that absolution, but a fresh and new beginning every day. Nathanael asked, "Where did you come to know me?" And Jesus said, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending under the Son of Man." What does that mean? It means that Jesus is explaining in the gospel that he is the ladder. He is the connection between this planet and the kingdom of God. That his mission and purpose was to win the forgiveness of sin of the world. That means that before you were born, you had already received the gift of forgiveness the moment you chose to accept the gift that Jesus died for us and gave us new life. It's so strange as a preacher that when I looked out and I looked at some of the faces, it's as if that was bad news. This is the greatest news for all humanity. That before you were born, there was a gift given to you of new life, a new beginning. And that God that loved you to offer forgiveness even before you were born and made any mistakes also knows what you're thinking and what you're feeling. So what's the good thing? Because if I had been aware that my mother knew what I was thinking and knew what I was doing and knew where I had been, as she so often claimed, as she pointed to the back of her head and said, "I can see you from every angle." As a little kid, I desperately wanted to walk up to her and go through her hair. Where are that sense of eyes? Here's the truth. That this is a message of love and forgiveness. And a message that Jesus' purpose was to offer that love and forgiveness to a broken and shattered world. And that you and I can think one thing yesterday and another thing tomorrow. That we can change our minds about the most fundamental issues of life. There was once a singer-songwriter, her name was Amy Grant. Her music's wonderful. If you haven't listened to her recently, look her up on the computer. Wonderful artist. Amy Grant was a gospel singer and songwriter, hugely successful in the charismatic evangelical movement. And then she was divorced. Record sales plummeted. She vanished off television. But you see, there's always more than one side to the story. She'd been living with a very sick man for a long time. He was addicted to drugs and alcohol. And when he wasn't violent, he was unconscious. And it just came to a point that it wasn't safe for anybody in the house anymore. And a decision needed to be made. But that doesn't mean that Amy couldn't love anyone. Because years later, someone came into her life and she remembered. There are events in each one of your lives that no one knows about. And I understand why. But I need you to know that no matter what mistake you've made or a member of your family has made, there is a new beginning in Christ every single day. All you have to do is ask. He's waiting for you to ask. And like the disciples in the gospel today, he's searching you out. All you have to do is take hold of that spiritual door and open it. And welcome him in again. For that new start again. By God's grace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.